Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
What the fuck is up? That was aggressive. I'm sorry.
It was. The sky. The ceiling. Not my IQ. I feel like my brain's fried.
I feel the same way. Mats and I were talking yesterday. Well, actually, welcome to the podcast. This is But Am I Wrong? Starring two people who have never been wrong. My name is Megan.
And my name's Melissa.
And we are better than everyone. And on this podcast, we are going to share our hot takes. We are going to share things that have happened in our lives, and we will put that up to all of you. Were we wrong in these situations? Then we're going to read email submissions from you where you let us know what's going on in your life, and we decide if you're the hero or the villain. And then on to everybody's favorite part, the Rachel of the week, aka, but are they wrong, where we nominate the absolute woat of the week, and we just have free reign for some ethical shit talking.
Can't wait.
I thought you were gonna say camp, and I was like, it is kind of camp. Everything that's good is camp. Looking camp straight in the eye.
How are you doing?
I am okay. I have just felt like I didn't realize it was like June. Like, where the fuck has the time gone? And so I am just like months behind on everything. Like, I was thinking about the last time I got my hair done and like Botox, and like Sydney's wedding is this month. And I just ordered dresses. Her wedding is in like less than 2 weeks, like 10 days. Wow. I ordered dresses today, and she, they're Moroccan Jewish on her dad's side. So she's doing a henna, which is like the night before. And it's like really cool outfits and jewelry. And like, you're supposed to wear like kaftans and stuff. And I was like, well, fuck. Like, what? You look on Amazon and it's like a beach cover up.
Yeah. This has just reminded me that my cousins are getting, they're already married. They got married a couple years ago, but they're having a actual wedding, and she's Indian. So there's also henna, and I also have to get an outfit for that as well. Similar to what you had.
When's yours?
It's not till July, but I'd still a little over a month away. So
what my current solution is, and we will see how it goes and how it works out and if I need to get more. But right now what my plan is I hate buying things that I can't wear again. Like that's just like not my vibe. And, you know, if I still had my Katak Indian dance costumes from the time that, you know, Marin County, my like a bunch of white kids just like wore bindis and just sang like literal prayers and chants, and like just the cultural appropriation of it all also being taught by another white woman who like probably just took ayahuasca and was like, I am enlightened now. Yeah. So if only I still had that, then I could be like, perfect.
Well, also, I feel like you're a little taller.
OK, here's the thing. Yes.
A little slimmer as well.
That's the key. I guess you're right. That was like fifth grade. So that was right before I shot up, and I was a little bigger at that point. But so I've just been ordering accessories. So I like ordered this like thing that's kind of like a shoulder piece that also is like a necklace sort of thing. And I'm going to try that on like just a plain dress that has like a silhouette that I think will work. And then I got like a gold body chain and like all of this other stuff. So I'm thinking that maybe that will work. So if it does and it's cute, you can totally borrow it.
Okay.
Assuming I don't go ham at the henna and just like rip it off like a Hulk style. But then I was thinking about, oh, I don't need to get my hair done before. Like, I was just timing wise, I'm so off because I'm realizing that my jaw's been really hurting. And as most people probably know, I get Botox in my jaw for like TMJ pain. And I was realizing, I'm like, I did my hair and I did all that in January. It's June. Like, what do you mean, Megan?
Half a year almost.
Yes. Like, my hair, my color desperately needs some help. Like, I need a trim, like all of these different things. But I was just, the house buying and moving process has just been this time suck that both, like, Mats forgot to get his suit. Like, both, I had to pay $25 for expedited shipping for dresses to come in because I'm like, oh my God, what the hell am I going to do? So that's been the last couple days for me. And we've just been doing stuff around the house and I still haven't like fully unpacked at all. Like,
again, it's going to be, you know, there's still stuff in my living room that's just sit, or kitchen that's just sitting there unpacked. It's all, it's actually stuff that just needs to be dropped off at a place for drop offs that I can't, my brain is glitching, so donations. I can't think of it right now. Donations, yes. But also I have a very small car, so it's kind of hard for me to do that.
Yeah. It's just a lot. And we tried to build an AC unit into the wall of this room because this room has like the most windows. It gets like fantastic light, but it gets so fucking hot. And so while we are getting like curtains and stuff, which I have one on one, like the glass door, we were building a wall AC unit and Mats had his moment where he was like, I'm not handy. And I was like, no, you're not. And it, he like thought that because he was born with like a penis, it was like an innate thing that would happen. And I was like, no, dude, you like have to learn and you have to practice. And he's like, well, how are you like better at like this kind of stuff? I'm like, well, I think stereotypically women and femme presenting people teach themselves more things because they don't feel safe to ask for help or have like a task rabbit come over if they live alone, like all of these different things. Yeah, like that's just like, as opposed to like men who think that like, oh, by the time that I turn a certain age, I will just know how to do these things. And I was like, no.
Anytime I think about Mats with a hammer, all I think about is when we were recording this podcast in the early days and a framed piece of art fell on your head.
Yep.
That's where I put him. So I actually don't want, when I saw you posted a picture of y'all at Lowe's and when I saw him looking at things, I got concerned.
Yeah. And you have fully every right to be. But the great thing is now is we've complete, not we, he's like his ego with this has been completely broken down. So there is no pride. He's looking up YouTube tutorials. He's like researching all of this. And then he had like a work emergency where a toilet over flooded and like a pipe or something happened with one of these pipes and like all of this stuff. And he literally was like, rose up from his seat. He's like, I know what to do. It was like calling all of the shots. And he was just like talking about like, he's like, yeah, nobody knew what to do. And I knew how to do this, this, and this. And I was like, let's not get too cocky because remember when we were having an issue installing our washer and dryer and they turned off the water line, you went pee and then flushed the toilet after repeatedly the repairman told us not to do that. So like, let's not get too cocky. And he was like, yep, you're right. So yeah, I'm nervous and there's a lot of conversations and teamwork when it comes to handy projects around the house because this is not a Jerry. I keep telling him, I was like, this is not a Jerry rigging situation. Like, we're not going to just jerry rig shit.
This is your home.
Yeah. It's slowly but surely coming together. But that's been my week weekend. And what's up with you?
So I have been working on a pitch for a project that I'm very, 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 very excited about that I have been working on for probably a year at this point. But it has a vast world. And so it's a long process.
Don't discredit. I think you've actively been working on this iteration of this project, but this has been a marathon you've been training for.
Yes.
For much longer.
For my life.
Your whole life. Let's be real. Okay.
Yeah. And so I had a whole Bible for the show because there's a ton of characters. I had to pare it down for an actual pitch. And so that has been a journey that I didn't know would take as long as it would. And also, I was realizing things while I was doing it that I was like, oh, I need to change this and make this tighter and blah, blah, blah. So something that I thought was going to take a couple of days has taken me till today. And yes, it was technically due yesterday. And so I stayed up all Sunday and Monday with 1 hour of sleep in between to work on it. and I still did not finish. I did not finish till this morning. We actually pushed this podcast a little later so I could finish. And then even when I had to take a shower because I have not showered in days because I've been so focused on this. I got in the shower and then thought of one more thing. So now I'm calling it. I'm done. And so now I just have to wait on notes. But my voice sounds a little bit deeper. That's because I haven't gotten any sleep. Well, y'all can't see it on this podcast, but on Don't Blame Me, you'll see it. My eye is twitching ever so slightly. So I'm going through it, but I feel so good about this and so happy. And I cannot wait for the networks to put their eyes on it and be like, this is what we've been waiting for, or them being so idiotic that they pass up on this opportunity.
I mean, I was going to say, like, they really would have to be idiots. But as we've seen,
that's how this business works.
Yeah, there's only genius decisions and terrible ones. Yep. Like, there's just no in between. Mm-hmm. But hey, Abbott Kinney was reviewed. Why do I keep saying Abbott Kinney? Abbott Elementary.
I always want to say Abbott Kinney, too. But
if anybody doesn't know that, it's like Venice, California. Abbott Kinney's a street.
Yeah, it's a very famous street.
But between that and just the constant praise of Shonda Rhimes, like there are some bright spots where I'm like, some of these people, they've got the brain cells. Mm-hmm. And I have incredibly high hopes because it's genius.
Thank you. Everybody that I've shared it with, they're like, oh yes, I want to watch this, which that's when everyone that you tell does that, that's really a good thing. So we'll see.
Well, especially because so many things now are reboots, reiterations, or just storylines or just television shows or stories that you're like, haven't I seen that before? Like, that sounds already familiar. Mm-hmm. And you can come up with like all these other things that it's like, and in a way that is kind of like, you don't need that other thing. But when you can think of something that you're like, oh, this reminds me of like this and this, like, wow, okay, what? Like, it makes you excited to watch it. So,
yeah.
Fuck yes. Well, I can't wait for you to sleep.
I can't either. After I vote today, I'm crashing so hard. So hard.
You're going to sleep well.
Yeah.
Blackout curtains and then just do not disturb on every device for like 2 days.
I mean, that stays on all the time anyway. But I think I have it so set so you can get through.
But I see it though. It says.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But it said so like I actually get your, when you send me something, I still get your notifications. Other people, it's not like that.
I feel special. Yeah. It says Melissa has notifications silenced. Oh yeah. And then I can opt in to notify you anyway, but I don't ever really do that unless.
All right. But it's already, you're already opted in.
I feel so special. Well, that's what we've been up to. Hope all of you who are listening have been doing good. I hope people voted in their local elections. Someone did ask me what I thought about Gwyneth Paltrow endorsing Rick Caruso. And if you haven't heard the last episode of But Am I Wrong, that was part of my rant.
So since we didn't record for 2 weeks, we don't have any updates yet, but we shall. You guys are a week behind us in what we record and what goes out. So,
yeah, we cut out the whole 5-minute explanation of Melissa having to explain that to me because no matter what, timelines will always confuse me. But let's get into the But Am I Wrong segment, where we each nominate things that have happened in our lives or our own personal hot takes. And then we will tell each other if we think that we are wrong. And then the best part of the entire podcast, what we think, is you all can go vote. So if you head on over to our Instagram stories, these episodes come out on Thursday. We try to have those up by Friday. We want to give you like a day, but they will be up before Monday. You can vote on who you think was wrong in each situation. We ask that you watch all the stories first before you vote. Go to the highlights to vote. It's just easier because sometimes like the stories don't show them all as like the current story. So read them all before, and you can like just see how the format is before you vote. And if you vote incorrectly, you can message us and let us know. And if you are voting with the minority opinion, we'd love, and like that's what you side with, we'd love to know like why as an explanation, just because it's interesting and we can share that later on. And I think that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
Okay. So my But Am I Wrong is I'm not even going to call it a hot take. I'm going to call it
a mega fact.
a lukewarm take, and this is like so ridiculous, okay. But this is a subject that I am like incredibly passionate about. I don't have all the answers, but I just think that we, similar to how you need, we're like, we need to talk about Big Milk. I think we need to talk about printers. I think we need to talk about whatever fucking conspiracy theory is behind printers and the fact that we as a society have given up on advancing printing technology. We can 3D mm-hmm. print now, but you know what you can't ever fucking print? Just a piece of goddamn fucking paper. You can't print just a resume, so audition size, just a shipping label, anything. We have the fucking printers that you can print stickers. You can print 3D shit. You can print anything mm-hmm. except for the thing that printers were originally designed for. And we still make printers, yet they've never gotten any better. And we as a society have just accepted that they all suck and that they will all break. And there is no remedy and there is no reason behind it. And ink is incredibly expensive. And then half the time the ink won't even sync up with the computer, like the printer, even though that's what you're supposed to do. And if you look on Amazon, Staples, anything, nobody has anything good to say about printers. And I think that there has to be a conspiracy theory here. And I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but I don't think this one could end up being anti-Semitic because that's what most conspiracy theories lead to. But what's happening?
I think, and don't quote me, but it's because they're made so easily and cheaply. I don't even know if that's where, so cheap. That
cheaply?
Yeah, it's like, I knew this at some point or read it somewhere that they don't really care about making them better because ink costs more than it does to even like make printers. And so they just expect people to just buy a new printer that comes with ink.
I hate it so much. And here's the thing, like if we could give up on printers totally, like I'm fine. Okay, sure. Like if that wants to be like, if it wants to be like about a waste, like printers are so much fucking plastic. They're not like exorbitantly expensive, but like we've advanced so far into like the digital age that we are doing things on iPads. We're like reading books like digitally, like, but it's not like paper is dying and I don't think it like should die, but it's not like they've given up and they're like, oh, we're not, it's like checks. Who the fuck writes mm-hmm. a check anymore? Like checks have kind of become like obsolete and like you have to go out of your way to like find them. But printers have not become obsolete. They're still fucking making them.
Yeah. I mean, you still need them.
And you still need them. They're just bad.
Yeah. They're just bad. I just Googled why printers suck and got some answers, but this is hot take time and we're not here for facts. So keep going.
Yeah. No, I'm not here for the, like, I know that there's a bigger conspiracy theory here and I don't know who owns Staples, but I think Mr. Staple is behind this because like, first of all, every other office supply store gone. Where are they?
Yeah.
Nowhere.
No, they got bought by Staples.
Exactly. Staples bought up every fucking local mom and pop office supply store.
Remember when there used to be a Staples and Home Office? Or what is that what it was called?
Home Office.
Office Depot. They used to be everywhere across the street from each other. For what reason? For what? Then they combined and were under like one name that was kind of like Staples Office Depot. And now they're just all Staples.
And like the Staples that we go to or we used to go to by our place, like, first of all, the hours, it was never open. But then when it was open one night, extremely late, and they let us in, they were filming a Staples commercials in the middle of the Staples. And like everything was in these like black boxes. We had to like check out in the back. All the Staples workers are like, hi. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what? Like, and you had to sign releases to shop in the store. And it was like, and
you
know why?
Did you tell them that you are SAG-AFTRA and you need to be compensated?
I know. I was like, excuse me, you're going to have to talk to my agents about this. But, and you know why I went to the Staples for that reason? Because I needed to print sides for a fucking audition and our printer didn't work. And so here mm-hmm. I was. So Staples has basically like, now that's kind of the only place you can go aside from a library, which.
You can also go to, what are your thoughts on Kinko's?
Well, I was going to say, Staples has taken over like every single spot. So you have to then drive so much farther to get to anything that also does print things. So Staples makes printers that don't work. And so then you mm-hmm. can't fucking print with them. And then they get rid of all of the places that cheaply will print things for you. And so then you have to go to a fucking Staples and then get your shit printed there. And it costs so much more money.
Yeah. I brought up Kinko's only because Kinko's doesn't exist anymore. It's FedEx Office. But people still say Kinko's, and I just think it's funny.
I think I've heard Kinko's in like a TV show. Like yeah, reference.
You would have heard it in the very 90s. It's very 90s. Okay. But I mean, they still, FedEx Office still exists, and people still call it Kinko's that are like over 30. And I think it's hilarious because I'm like, they haven't existed for like 20 years.
Yeah. So my hot take is there is something nefarious going on with the printer industry, and we need to stop. We need to all stop being sheep and blindly just adhering to the absolute lunacy that is occurring. And we can't accept this for what it is. Like, there is something bigger here. And I need Michael Moore to make a new documentary on the printer industry. And I feel so fucking passionately about this. And again, I cannot stress enough how much I do not want printers to become obsolete. Like, I don't want to make the full switch to digital. I love digital things. But when it comes to like auditions and sides, like, I need to have them printed out. I need to be able to highlight, like, anyone who has ADHD or any sort of like dyslexia or any sort of like learning things that can impact how you like learn and retain information. Like, you'll understand, like, there's a lot of people who need things printed out. And I think we are accepting incredibly poor treatment from Big Staple. And I call for a revolution. No more.
Okay. So. No more jammed printers. No more expensive ink. No more misconnections, disconnections. Print, 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 print.
Yeah, like, until I can get a 3D printer that can fucking print a piece of paper, like, fuck off. And everybody's like, they're going to 3D print guns now. And I'm like, why can't you could 3D print a whole fucking gun, but we can't print a goddamn piece of paper. Okay. There's something going on. Mm-hmm. Something going on. Okay. Well, that's my lukewarm take.
I also have a lukewarm take. Actually, it's a pretty hot take. To me, because I feel very passionately about this. So, you know how much I love a nice frozen dairy treat, aka ice cream, but it hates me. Mm-hmm. It's again back to my dairy thing. But when you get ice cream, you know, you go to an ice cream shop, they're going to give you all the good toppings like chocolate syrup, strawberry syrup, nuts. I love nuts. And then something that children love, I believe because it's so colorful, sprinkles.
Or Jimmies.
What the heck is a Jimmy?
That's what they call them in other parts of the country.
I've never heard that before, and I've lived all over this country.
Yeah, sprinkles or Jimmies. They're the same thing.
Okay. Sure. I'll believe you. Sprinkles. I believe that sprinkles add nothing to ice cream except for colorfulness. First of all, when you lick them, all they taste like is wax. And I've always said that sprinkles were wax. Kidding, but they actually are. So sprinkles are made from corn syrup, sugar, cornstarch, wax, artificial coloring, and artificial flavors. But the thing is, you don't taste the sugar or the artificial flavorings because it's covered in wax, so you can't even taste it.
What's the artificial flavoring? Like, what is, like,
who knows? Because you can't taste it because the wax is there. And so all sprinkles do is create a barrier between getting to the actual thing that you want to eat. So you go to these fancy places that put sprinkles all around the ice cream. You can't even just sit there and lick the cone. You have to bite into it and then lick around it and swallow the freaking wax. So why? Why do we have sprinkles? For what? They add no flavor. There's so much sugar in them, but you can't even taste it because they're covered in fucking wax. So stop. Go away, sprinkles. And that's my take.
I don't disagree with you at all. I will offer a solution. One, homemade sprinkles, so much better. This is like, sprinkles are the definition of something that, like, the reason why they taste so bad, like, mass produced is because, like, they have an exorbitantly long shelf life when, like, don't. Because, like, wax is a prevalent taste. And also, like, it's a coating, it's a texture. Like, you can feel it in your mouth. Like, it will overwhelm anything. You can make homemade sprinkles and you can, like, color them with, like, pulsed, so like it's like powdered freeze-dried strawberries or raspberries and like all that stuff. And like that could be like delicious and you can actually taste
them. If it's actual a thing, then cool. It's adding something. But like even if it's like a freeze-dried that you're breaking up, I don't consider that a sprinkle. I just think that that's a topping.
But it's no, but it's in, it becomes in a sprinkle. Like it becomes like you make your homemade, but I would love to know, Michael Moore needs to make a second documentary about sprinkles because I think we took sprinkles from, not to give my people all of the credit, but in the Netherlands and then also in Australia. I don't know where it came from, but like, let's be colonization. Let's just say that those are two places where I know. And like, I've been to the Netherlands for these. When I tell you that like they sold these sprinkles in a box at the grocery store, and the whole thing was like, you put them on toast in the morning. You would have toast and you put butter and you put these sprinkles on there. And I saw people just like in the streets eating this at like cafes. And I was like, blown away, 10 years old, 9 years old. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, I love this. I bought some. And when I put them on, they're like, they look like sprinkles. They're just like, they just look like fancy sprinkles. Like they look like they're a little bit longer.
But it's just like broke up freeze dried fruit, right?
No. But this one, it's, they look exactly like chocolate sprinkles. They just don't look as waxy. Like they don't have that kind of like, you know, sprinkles can get that like white powder on the outside. Literally, you take a bite of them and they taste like what a chocolate sprinkle you always thought was supposed to taste like.
Okay.
They still have the sprinkle texture and consistency, but they don't have the waxy aspect of it. Like they still add that crunch, but then they're in your mouth for longer and they start to kind of melt in your mouth. But then there's actual chocolate flavoring. And I know in Australia, they call them fairy bread. But I just think that like this is a perfect example of, there's no way that America did this first, but we took something from someone else and we made it bad. And now we're asking people to pay for little pieces of essentially plastic that it tastes like all over your fucking ice cream. I think American sprinkles ruin everything.
I would like to amend what I just said. Down with American sprinkles, whatever these little tasty bits, great. But American sprinkles are trash.
Yep. Fairy bread is the Australian one.
And I still hold, you know, pause to these other sprinkles because I haven't actually tasted them. But when, if I ever have them, I'll let you know for me if they're good. But wax sprinkles, die. I'm not even going to get into those little, what's those little things that, I think they start with the P, that you can also put on cakes that are really hard.
So I just found an article from Epicurious called,
Dutch hey, you said we're not doing facts.
No, it's not a fact. It's not a fact. Actually, it is a fact. It just says Dutch chocolate sprinkles are better. And that's what the headline is. And it's, they're better. So sorry, Australia and New Zealand. I can't vouch for fairy bread if it is different, but I would assume that ours is so clearly American and it's so terrible that I can't imagine other countries, and Australia and New Zealand would also have like a pretty common dish that would taste so bad. So I would like to attribute most of that to America, but I can only vouch for the Dutch ones. And they're delicious. We'll have to order you some on Amazon. Change your life.
Okay.
We will give an update once Melissa tries them. Okay. Now we're going to read your submissions for the But Am I Wrong segment. And if you want to send us a little message, email us at butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. Keep it under 300 words. We ask that you give us, if you're going to do pseudonyms for people, use actual fake names, not numbers or letters. And let us know the ages of everybody, because that usually helps. And if you would like to let us know your pronouns or the other people's pronouns in it, go for it. Shall we begin?
We shall.
Am I wrong for not wanting to babysit my dad's boss's kids? I, 23, she, her, just graduated college and finally have time to myself before I start my job in a week. My dad, 42, he, him. I'm just going to say, I do love when we give ages and then like it happens to be like, this is how old my dad is. Like, I love it when it's like not pertaining to the actual question. So I just get an image. My dad, 42, he, him, called me to tell me that his boss's kid's caretaker was unable to care for the kids this week. Before asking me if it was okay, my dad went ahead and volunteered me to babysit for his boss's kids. He validated this to his boss by telling him that I have, quote unquote, more free time now that I'm graduated from college. Keep in mind, the family lives about an hour away from me and the mom of the kids does not work. I have babysat the two kids before, girl 9, boy 11, but it's only been on a Saturday night for a few hours. They are a very well-off family and have paid me well the previous times I have watched their kids, but am I wrong for not wanting to watch the kids for these reasons? Number one, I know the mom is a stay-at-home mom and could watch her own kids, yet they pay for a weekly caretaker. Number two, it's an hour away. Number three, I only have a week to myself before I start my job, so I want this little time to myself. I also have severe shame plus guilt trauma from my dad as a child, as I was a major people pleaser, especially towards him. If this was a court of law, I think you are wrong on one count, and I don't think you are wrong on two other counts.
Okay.
I mean, as a whole, I don't think you're wrong for not wanting to babysit your dad's boss's kids. Like, I think that, like, that's your choice to make, like, not his. Mm-hmm. So as an overarching thing, like, that's not wrong at all, regardless of how good the pay is or whatever. Even if the kids are so sweet and so nice, like, if you don't want to do it, like, you're not wrong for not wanting to do it. The three examples you gave of, like, you only have a little time to yourself this week. So, like, yeah, time to yourself, not wrong. It's an hour away. Yes, also inconvenient on top of, like, just not wanting to do it. But you are wrong for saying that the mom is a stay-at-home mom so she can watch her own kids, because we give stay-at-home moms so much shit without being like stay-at-home moms. And like, I hate this concept that a stay-at-home mom, like, that in itself is like the, oh, you are a full-time caretaker yourself for your kids, when in reality, like, how much it takes, like, time and effort and energy it takes to, like, run a household is a full-time job. To cook is a full-time job. To be parent and childcare is also, like, a full-time job. And so, like, the assumption that people who don't work, that they have all the time in the world to, like, watch their kids and, like, they shouldn't have outside help is just, like, really presumptuous about, A, what it takes to be, like, what it means. And also, like, you don't know an individual situation. Like, there could be, like, a family emergency, or, like, needs to drive a friend to, like, a doctor's appointments, or is, like, sick, or is just having a really bad mental health time, or is, like, needs help taking care of the kids, because two kids are a lot and you can't be in two places at once with, like, driving them to different places and all of that. Like, I don't think that there's anything wrong with being a not working as a mom and also having help, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is pretty straightforward. You know, your dad should have never volunteered you to do this. This was your call to make. Someone that I know did this recently to a child that they're related to and didn't run it by their parent for them to babysit. In this case, you're an adult. Your dad shouldn't be making decisions for you. This is your time. And yeah, he should have asked you first if you wanted to, which you clearly don't. They can find another babysitter. I would still say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's passed by now at this point, but you always have the right to say no in a situation. So I would tell your dad, you know, guess what? I'm not doing this. But yeah, you are wrong in saying in one of your reasoning, because regardless of if she stays at home at night or not, they need a babysitter for some reason.
Yeah.
Regardless. So who, and, you know, just because she doesn't work outside the home doesn't mean that she doesn't work in the home and she needs a break. And this person that usually helps them is not unavailable. So yeah, you're wrong on that part, but right for everything else.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, only you can know your dad's intentions, but if they pay you, like, really well, like, in really good money, like, there is a chance that, like, he was wanted to jump at the chance, because it would be like, oh, she could make a fuck ton of money doing this, and just, like, wrongly assumed that was a call that you would have, like, wanted. And to me, just, like, screams kind of like a dad thing, where it's like, oh my gosh, yeah, do you not know how long it would, how much, how different it is to be with a kids for, like, 8 to 10 hours a day, like, every day for a week, as opposed to, like, a couple hours at night. Like, you're in charge of all of the meals, like, you're in charge of, like, driving, like, all of this stuff, that it's, like, such a bigger ask. But I would say, like, you know your relationship with your dad, so if it was kind of like a moochy situation versus just, like, pure ignorance of, like, what it takes to, like, actually, like, raise and take care of kids. And some people forget how, like, hard or how much effort that is. But I also think that a lot of that usually falls on moms. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think he was probably trying to make nice in front of his boss as yeah. well.
Well, anyways, this jury says you are not guilty on two counts, guilty on one count, but overall, not guilty.
Mm-hmm. I'm a 22 female. My friend Cam, 18 female, came to visit me with a mutual friend. This was supposed to be a girls' trip. These girls are like my little sisters. Cam asked if she could bring her boyfriend Frank with them. I said no because it made me uncomfortable. Frank, 28 male, is Cam's first cousin. Ooh! Cam said, yep. Sorry. Cam said Frank couldn't come, but Frank was the first person out of the car when they arrived. While at my house, Frank commented about wanting to get Cam pregnant ASAP and that she should run away with him. He also tried to keep her under the influence the entire time. On their last day, Cam's parents called because they were sent a picture Frank posted with Cam that said, "We're getting married tomorrow." They informed me that Frank has been grooming Cam since she was 12 and he is a doctor. Sexual assault trigger warning here. He also raped her at 14, which is why he wanted to get married. Her parents cannot charge him because Cam threatens to run away with him. Her parents put the responsibility of stopping the marriage on me, which somehow I did. After they left, I've worked with Cam's family to keep her busy so they don't have another chance to do something crazy before she leaves to work overseas for 6 months. After she leaves, her parents are going to press charges and work to revoke his MD. Am I wrong for being upset for everyone and for wanting to say something to Cam? For reference, the state I'm in is 800 miles from Cam and it's legal to marry your first cousin here, which is why she came to see me. The mutual friend didn't know he was coming. Thank you in advance. This is an all over fucked up situation. You're not wrong at all.
But they're asking if they're wrong for wanting to tell Cam. That's what I'm like. Her parents put the responsibility, blah, blah, blah. After they left, I've worked with Cam's family to help keep her busy so she doesn't have another chance to do something crazy before she leaves for 6 months. After she leaves, her parents are going to press charges and work to revoke his MD. Am I wrong for being upset with everyone and for wanting to say something to Cam? I mean, depends on what the fuck you want to say.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking she wanted to say something like you shouldn't be.
Oh.
My thought process was she wanted to say something to Cam like, you shouldn't be in this situation. This is what he's doing to you. That's what I deciphered it as. How did you decipher it?
I deciphered it as giving Cam a heads up that this is what her parents' plan is.
Yeah. No. I see, and it might be. I don't know.
No, but going I like with, yours better.
Yeah. But no, as far as, you know, everyone putting this on you, I'm guessing, I'm just inferring that they've probably tried to do other things, but have run out of ways to do so. And so they're kind of like at their wit's end and they're putting it on you since you're kind of quote unquote like her big sister. But this whole thing is so fucked up. I don't know where to even, I guess, start that they're cousins, one. Two, he's 28. He's assaulted her and then took her over state lines because he was trying to marry her, his first cousin. And she's, I guess, probably if this is the instance, freshly 18.
Yeah.
And he's been grooming her for years.
And he's a doctor.
This is just disgusting. And he's a doctor. This is just disgusting and disturbing and... I'm so sorry that you're in this situation. Please write back and let us know like what you're planning on telling her or want to tell her. So I'm going to reserve rights of saying, you know, if you're depending on what you say, if you're wrong in that situation, but you're not wrong for being upset that they put this all on you at all.
No.
I mean, I've been in situations where people are like, you have to tell blah, blah, blah this because you're the only one that listens to them when it has nothing to do with me. It's never been anything this extreme, but it has nothing to do with me. And it angers me so much and frustrates me. And so I can't even something that's this messed up, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's way too much responsibility to put on you, because there's like a way to go about something like that where I think you could really like get through to her. Like if you're comfortable, like I think there's a way to like discuss that, because I don't think that that's necessarily like false. Like I think our peers and people we look up to closer in age can have far more of like an impact and influence on us than like parents. But there's a way to go about that. And this seems like an unnecessary amount of pressure. I'm going to say that I don't think you're wrong in being upset about the situation at all, because like I don't like I think it's incredibly inappropriate and like horrific and awful. But I think regardless of what you want to say to her, you would be wrong, because this is like a really delicate situation in the sense that like if there is a plan in place that her parents have organized that involve doing everything they have, it seems they've set up the situation where she's not going to have an opportunity to essentially like be alone with him and have him be able to like take her over state lines again. And like they have this kind of time period that they need to get to, and then they're pressing legal charges. And if that's the case, they without a doubt consulted with a lawyer who's been able to like help them like come up with a plan to like do this and like start the process of that. This stuff is so delicate. It can become like a domino situation that right now she's on the complete defense and like high alert of people who are knows that everybody's against her relationship and is on high alert with that. And I would assume her parents aren't holding her captive in her room. And like the reason why they have included you on this is because they want it to be a little bit feeling more natural, that you're all on the same team, that you are essentially pulling puppet strings of her life to prevent this thing from happening, because then you have a plan that happens afterwards. And I just think that like while she is in the absolute thick of this, like there's not anything you can say to get to her, regardless of like how well you plan it out, of like how much it comes from the heart. And the fact that like what you're going to say is like, again, we're coming operating from what Melissa said, like the sense that like this is incredibly dangerous, like you've been groomed and like this is like not like a healthy thing and like he's so bad and all of that. That is all true. But if you like take it down to like a much smaller scale of like when someone is in a toxic relationship and you say all of that, it takes a long time before they understand what that means and they like actually believe that, and you're on the defense. It like, and they talk about an abusive relationship. The saying is it takes like 7 times to leave. And I don't think in this situation that this is much more dangerous in the timeline of this, that like this right now, I think is like, I don't think that there's time to try and ease her into recognizing that she has been like groomed and then have her turn on her groomer within this small time period when there's already a different plan in place. But I think in order for you to feel comfortable with that, I think you need to have a much better understanding of what's happening and like have a conversation with her parents more along those lines. Because I think right now what they've enlisted you to do is be the role of a friend. And I think that what you're doing is not a friendship thing. Like, you know, something that she doesn't and all of that. And so I think that like, you need to be like, okay, like I know that I'm not the age of parents and like I know I'm only a couple years older than her, but like we need to have a conversation like how you have with each other at night. Like we like parents, like I need to know absolutely everything in all of this, because like right now I'm having a really hard time not saying something to her about this relationship, and I don't feel confident in not saying something because I'm not completely privy to the entire plan. And then you can, if you feel confident in that plan and there's like legal counsel who's like been involved. But I think that if they're having you be involved, I think right now you're carrying the burden of being involved and also not being 100% in the loop and having like input into the situation. So I think that you're owed that, and that's something that they need to give to you, and having a conversation with them about that. Because also, like, what about pursuing charges now? Like, what about that? Like, what about like you taking her out to a movie and then them putting charges, do you know what I mean? Like there's like, I think that like right now, this is just like a way too of a high stress anxiety and situation for you to live in at the current state of it. And I think the people, instead of talking to her, I think you need to talk to her parents and figure out what it is that you're comfortable doing and what the plan is. And if you think that's going to like work, because you can offer the insight of someone in a similar age range. But yeah, this is a lot. And it's also like, if it doesn't work, that's not on you. You know what I mean? Like, it's not on like anyone except for him. And I think that's a really hard position to be in too. I don't think you have a responsibility. Like, you don't have to participate in this if this is something that you don't want to do, but only you can make that call. Absolutely horrendous situation. Would love some, like you said earlier, would love some clarification on this, but you're not wrong, because this is an incredibly trash situation. I just don't think that the solution is talking to her right now. I think it could do more harm than good, but also depends on what you want to say and depends on like how the orchestrating of this has gone.
Also, I think that the parents probably mean, I know they mean no harm towards you, and they're probably not thinking about your own mental health because they're thinking about their daughter's physical and mental safety right now. And they've probably been worried about this for a while and figuring out what to do. And this is probably the last straw that they were able to get to.
Yeah. They just need to include you like a peer. And I think that's who you, I think the conversation needs to be with. But oof.
All right. We're going to take a break.
Woo!
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month, because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like... You know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that Book of the Month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me, so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you. and listed it as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about the return of Ellie Black. And this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which that sounds so intriguing, and I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait, and we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already gonna love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com, and you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. Back from the break, and we're going to get to the rest of the email submissions. Hi, this year I started college at a large state school. I met some girls and became friends. One of the girls, Nicole, needed a roommate for next year, so did I. We signed a lease for next year. I went on spring break with this group, but they are much closer to Nicole than me. Nicole and I live in the same building. Everyone has a roommate and suite mates sharing one bathroom. During second semester, I started getting close to Nicole's suite mates, Kelly and Emma, who I met through her. Yesterday, Kelly was moving out and invited me over to say goodbye. Nicole, our friends, and Nicole's brother, who's a junior in high school, was there. I met the brother many times. He's a typical high school boy, which I have a low tolerance for. I've never been the type to have guy friends. I'd just come from taking a final and I was mentally burnt out. Everyone but Kelly was drinking. The brother opened the door and blocked it with his body and tried to give me a hug. I gave him a look, said no, and moved his arm down so I could come to say goodbye to Kelly. I stayed for a bit, then left. I could tell Nicole seemed off, but I assumed she was also stressed because of finals. I found out from Emma this morning that Nicole is pissed because I disrespected her brother by pushing him. He's like 6'2". I couldn't push him if I tried. And for making a ew face. It's not the first time Nicole has gotten upset with me over something and talked about it to other people. But I'm mad because if I were her, I'd be more upset if one of my friends wanted to hug my brother. So am I wrong here? This is like making me grapple with like my own belief system, because like I don't think that like you are owed like that you should physically touch men or like have any conversation with them or do anything with them that you like don't want to do. And I also am like, don't believe that you need to alter your reactions or like placate or like play nice in those kinds of situations where you like feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, like like, I don't want to negate any of that because that is my belief system. But maybe I'm just like reading this like wrong in a way that like, I don't know, like do you dislike him because like you dislike all high school boys? Like what is like when you're saying that like he's like a typical high school boy, like was it creepy in the way that he was doing that? Or was it kind of just a, oh, like I'm not a hugger. Like I don't really like to hug people. Like I'm not a big hugger. Like I just wonder. Only you can know like the vibe and his intention. And again, I don't think you owe him anything, but I think it could be potentially understandable that his sister would think that that was like rude. But I think blocking the doorway and not like, I think that's rude. So like, I think her threshold is going to be like what she thinks was rude to her family. But I don't think your response was unwarranted for the situation at all. But I think that like, she's just looking at you versus him, you know?
Yes. I don't think that Nicole should be mad at you at all. She should be mad at her brother and teaching him, since, you know, he's still a kid, I guess, teaching him that if somebody doesn't want to be touched, then you don't touch them and you don't try to force touch onto them. And so regardless, if you maybe you don't like him, it doesn't matter the reason as to why you didn't hug him. But if somebody doesn't want to be touched, you don't force yourself on them. When I was back home in Arkansas, I saw this man that I do not like, and regardless if I liked him or not, but I saw him at he wasn't there for my mom's graduation. I mean, he was there for the graduation, but he was not there like to see my mom or anything. But he was in like the hallway area. And I went up there and he was like, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Come give me a hug. And I said, no. And then he said, you better come give me a hug. And I said, no again. And then I literally moved out the way and he still tried to hug me. And my dad saw it and he was like, and the only reason this man stopped is because my dad was like, don't touch her. Because if he's starting it now, just like, it's going to continue.
Yeah. And this is not like, I think there's like a way when like, I could understand as an isolated incident of being like, ew, to her brother and like being like gross, like blah, all of that. But like her being upset with you for that is like completely negating the fact that he opened the door, stood in the doorway as in like a, you need to hug me to pass thing, which regardless if like you're a quote unquote nice guy, whatever, like that is like a threatening and imposing thing to do. And like, it could be not intentionally threatening and imposing, but that doesn't mean it's not threatening and imposing. So like, it's one of those situations where like, I think, sure, in a different instance, could I understand of her being like, oh, like, I think that like he really shouldn't have done that at all. But like, now I'm concerned that you like, don't like my brother. Like, if that's like a bigger conversation there that like, you like the whole ew reaction you had to him, like that kind of hurt my feelings as like a sibling. And like, you're right. Like, this is something I'm going to talk to him about. But is there like something else there? Like, I could see how that could be a jumping off point for a conversation. But in order for that to happen, like she would have to acknowledge, like you have to acknowledge that what her brother did put in you in an uncomfortable position that could have maybe brought to light the fact that you don't like him. And then that could be something she could ask you about. Like, that's, I think, a completely valid conversation, but I don't think it's warranted for her to be like angry or upset with you. And if she's going to choose to be angry and upset with you, that means that she's just looking, she thinks everything that he's doing is like completely fine. And also like, regardless if he's like annoying or it was like he's just like a typical high school boy, like regardless if there's like no malice behind this, it's just like ignorance and immaturity or whatever, like he has to learn that he is a 6 foot tall man and he cannot put his body in between a woman doing anything. Like he can't do that. Like regardless of what your intentions are, like you need to learn that you are you're a man and you're also a large imposing man. You need to know that even if you have all the greatest intentions in the world, you have to physically conduct yourself in a different way because that makes people not feel safe. Like that, it's just like what it is. Like I've seen wonderful TikToks of guys who are these like really tall, big, like buff white guys. And they've said that, like, I make sure, like, if I'm, like, walking down the street and I see a woman, like, I will cross the street or I will be, like, I'm going to let you pass or, like, we'll make sure they communicate in a way that they've asked their female friends to be, like, how can I make it clear to someone that I'm not a threat in, a, like, the best of my ability? Because no matter what, like, you can't necessarily know if someone's, like, a threat, but, like, there's a way to hold yourself and conduct yourself as, like, a man that is not threatening. And this was an intention, this regardless if it was his intention to be threatening, like it is threatening and it is imposing. And that was a teaching moment for him, not for her. But I also think that like the only other thing I would say is like you said at the end, like if I was her, I'd be more upset if one of my friends wanted to hug her brother. Like, sure. Like I think that's just like a personal thing. We've said so many times on Don't Blame Me, like some brother-sister relationships are weird. And I just think that to me, that sounds not from your end, but I wonder if there's just a little bit more enabling going on in general.
But also he's not 18. So like your friends wanting to touch your, because he's a junior in high school. So like, I think she's coming from that. Like if one of my friends wanted to hug him, that would be weird.
Yes. Okay. That makes more sense. Yeah. And also like, I think the brother-sister relationship dynamic here is just all skewed. Like he's 16. So he's a junior. He's drinking with them. Like
16 or 17.
Yeah. So like he's like also drinking underage with them. And then like, I think it's just a weird situation to kind of like be in. And it's always the man's responsibility to like make, you have the power to like make people feel safe, like, and or unsafe. And like, you need to conduct that. But I also think that it's really important for like us as women who are like family members or whatever, like it's not our job to like completely mold and construct and teach people unless those people are our children to like educate them. But as a sibling or a family member, it is her responsibility and like her job that if she is going to invite her brother along, that like A, everybody is comfortable with the situation and that she is going to be constantly checking him in the situation and not enabling him and bringing, like, clearly, like, a terribly immature and, like, enabled 16, 17-year-old around a bunch of, like, college girls who are drinking. It does not seem like there is any course correction there with him at all. And I would assume that the reason why she's mad at you is probably because this isn't the first time that people have had this reaction towards her brother.
So it's just like, it's not like he made a piece of art and you looked at it and was like, ew.
No.
That would be disrespectful. This is not disrespectful.
No.
She disrespected you when she came to you.
Yeah. I just think that, like, I don't know. Like, there's an instance in which, like, this could have made her feel some type of way, but, like, that's on her to process and deal with and then be like, hey, do you think maybe I have my blinders on when it comes to my brother? Like, I saw that reaction of yours and my instinct was that, like, that kind of hurt my feelings. And now I'm, like, realizing, like, I should unpack that. Like, could you talk to me about this? Like, is there something I'm not seeing?
I mean, that takes maturity and self-reflection. And I don't think she has that.
No, but that also part of me makes me think that, like, if your immediate reaction is to get defensive and be upset with, like, the other person, it makes me think that it isn't the first instance where something like this has happened where she's felt the need to, like, defend her brother, or she just hasn't done any of her own journey with sexism and, like, the patriarchy mm-hmm. and, like, everything like that, which is an immense privilege to be that ignorant. And that's not something that, again, as your friend, your responsibility is to, like, tell her, but, like, oof. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need to have some conversation with her.
Yeah.
But this isn't don't blame me.
It's not, but there's your free advice. You need to have a conversation with her before you sign documents. And always try and get out of a lease before you've actually moved in. Never assume it's going to get better. Always assume it will get worse. So
yeah,
that's my soapbox.
Sounds like life experience to you. Anyway. Hi, Megan and Melissa. I would really appreciate if you gave me your thoughts on this situation. I sent my boyfriend, him, the other day a video that Sierra posted on her Instagram account where she was promoting one of her songs. I sent it to him because the video featured a bunch of girls dancing on a Ford Bronco, which is the same car my boyfriend just got a few weeks ago. I just found it fun and it was the same car and wanted to show him that it was featured in a video of a celebrity. He responds to me saying, I've never understood why men like it when girls move their butts like that. The girls in the vids were twerking. I got pretty mad at this and told him sarcastically that maybe they are not doing it for male gaze, to which he responded that he wasn't saying that, that it was just an opinion he had and was sharing with me. I told him that this is internalized misogyny, when the first thing you think about when you see a video of hot girls twerking is that they are doing it for men or for anyone else but themselves and their own fun, for that matter. He kept going on about how he hasn't offended anyone and how it's just his opinion, that it has nothing to do with what he thinks of women or the video itself. Am I wrong for getting upset? Please let me know. I feel like I might go crazy. Thank you so much. I mean, I don't think you're wrong in what you're saying, but I think that he's wrong for what he said about that. I don't understand why men like it when women do that, when that was nothing about, that wasn't the situation at all. You were just sending him a video. There were girls twerking. Sure. But like you said, it had nothing to do with them trying to do anything for a man.
And, like, why did he think that you were sending him that video to be like, I thought you would enjoy, like, these asses bumping up? Like, what did he, like, do you know what I mean? Like do you normally send each other, like softcore porn kind of, like that kind of thing? Like, I will, one little quick note, he would not be experiencing internalized misogyny.
Internalized misogyny, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just misogyny. And I, for heterosexual women who are dating, like, cis heterosexual men, that can be a really hard term or thing to recognize, that, like, you can, like, love your partner and you can love your boyfriend, but, like, we live in a patriarchal society, so, like, he will say some things and sometimes that are just misogynistic. Like, that's just the point. And, like, when we protect people from those labels, that's not helping anyone.
And you might be confused too. The writer might be confused. If you had been the one that said the comment, then you would be experiencing internalized misogyny. That would be you.
That would be like saying,
if he sent you the video.
Yeah. But like, if you think about it in this term, if it's like, I can't experience internalized like racism because like I'm white. So I would just be being racist. Like I could, or right. You know what I mean? Like I could be microaggressive. I could do something that's racist. Like I could be racist, but I couldn't be in, I couldn't experience internalized racism. If that's
right.
A helpful comparison.
We're both just like sighing and huffing and thinking of something. This isn't what I was going to say, but I hate when somebody says something that's just wrong. And then they're like, but that's my opinion. Okay. Anything you say that comes from you that isn't a fact is your opinion. But that doesn't mean that that comment is okay. That doesn't invalidate somebody else's feelings towards the comment.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, that's my opinion. I know. And okay. And like, it's just, that's not like a catch-all, like whatever you can say, whatever you want. But I think that like his also statement, like, well, like he hasn't offended anyone. Like, no, he offended you. And I think
he
that
offended
like
you and he offended me.
Yeah, he offended me too. Like, and so I just
probably
think that
offended,
like,
Sierra, and Sierra doesn't give a shit.
No, she's like, this little
Russell
boy?
Wilson.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah, okay. No, but like, this is just one of those things that like, I think that this is clearly the reaction of someone who has like never been called out on this kind of like stuff before. And I think that like, it can be uncomfortable and hard to like call your partner out on something that you're like, hey, like, that's not okay. Or yeah, just course correction and that sort of thing. And like, I think it's something that like will always happen. Like I correct myself. I correct Mats. Mats corrects me. This is just something that like we have to unlearn. And I don't think you're wrong at all for like being offended. And I also don't think you're wrong at all. I don't think you're wrong at all for being upset. And I also don't think you're wrong at all in like how you like phrased things. Like, I think that there's like a way that I now, as someone who's older, would go about these kinds of situations, but it has to take two willing and active participants. Do you know what I mean? So like, there's a different way that I would go about saying this. And also Mats would never respond like that. So like, that is like how that kind of give and take goes. But I just think this is just like goofy on his part. Like, this is just like, yeah. No one asked you, like, I'm so sorry. Did you think the entire, and also like, I do not know your boyfriend's race, but it is giving microaggression because like twerking is made predominant by the Black community. we had a video
honestly,
of that.
Honestly, that was the first thing that came to mind was he probably does like it, but he's racist.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like, it's a Sierra video. What is the racial breakdown of the people in the video? Mm-hmm. Is this something like, what kind of music does he listen to? And yeah, it's giving like a multi offensive on both sides of being like, this is a microaggression and this is feeling racist and misogynistic and like not everything is for you. And that is like the biggest culprit of people who think that are, again, don't know your boyfriend's race, but like the biggest culprit of people who think that are white men. Like, men think everything is for them. White people think everything is for them. And then you have that intersection of white men who are like, oh, I don't know why people like this. This isn't for me. Like, nobody asked you. This wasn't made for you. Sierra has no fucking idea. Like, you fucking exist, you plebe. But then also like, why unpack that? Like, unpack why you don't like this. Like, what kind of women and like, what sort of things like, do you find like sexy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just,
they were all Black, just for reference.
I am not surprised. I don't know. I think that he can feel uncomfortable in like, teaching learnable moments and be like, oh, I really didn't mean it that way. But like, who is he as a man to tell you that something that he said is not misogynistic? He's not. And I think more than anything, I think it's more racist more than anything. And he wishes. Like, he fucking wishes. Like, I'm sorry, you mean to tell me? Also, like, lies. Like, you're lying. Like, you mean to tell me that like, you see a bunch of like, beautiful women shaking their fat fucking asses and you're just like, no. No, lies.
Right.
I do not believe you.
Right.
I, a straight woman, look at that and I go, that's on my vision board. Like, I want to be that. Like, lies, lies, lies. Racism and lies.
All right. Now to, but are they wrong? AKA Rachel of the Week. And this is where we pick someone that's in the headlines in pop culture who's done something that we think is wrong and we nominate them. So who's yours?
My Rachel of the Week is Stan culture, and specifically two, not fandoms, but standums that I am taking issue with.
Okay.
The Doja Cat stans and the Harry Styles, or I guess it's not even Harry Styles. It's One Direction stans. And I am a Doja Cat fan. I'm also a Harry Styles fan. I'm also a One Direction fan. But stans, I think being a stan of anyone is so toxic, because in order to be a stan versus like a stan is your love for this person and your obsession with this person. In order to display that in the most accurate way, like, you will hurt other people on behalf of a person who didn't ask you to do that. And also you will hold the people to unrealistic standards, and then also just not respect the people that you're actually like a fandom of. Like, it's just like the most dehumanizing aspect of like a fandom. And like, I don't think those people are real or true fans at all. So basically, Doja Cat had to get a tonsil surgery because she had an abscess on her tonsil, and she was on antibiotics and ended up smoking, and then had to get an emergency surgery to get it removed. And to get your tonsils taken out as an adult, if you have never heard Lily Marston talk about it or Cami Crawford, I've been scarred hearing from both of them talk about how it's like the worst experience ever. Anyone who's gotten their tonsils taken out as an adult, it is like the most traumatizing, scarring experience. And so, therefore, she had to pull out of, I'm going to say this with a straight face, she had to pull out of opening for The Weeknd. And
we all know who the real opening act should have been. Who the main attraction of this is, actually.
We know who is doing who a massive favor. So she had to pull out, and naturally, the vast majority of people who had bought tickets were going for her. And so that's not a statistic. That's just...
That's your opinion.
That's my opinion. So people were so mad at her on social media. There are lots of people who are like incredibly understanding. You can get refunds through like the ticket concert venues that you're doing. And I understand the disappointment. Like, I've been in fandoms. Like, I have stayed up like refreshing to get tickets for something. Like, I've done the like camping outside. Like, I've been in the thick of that. So like, I understand the disappointment, but there's a difference in a disappointment with someone who like just doesn't care about performing a good show, or is just like late for whatever reason. But like, I'm always going to give people and performers the benefit of the doubt in that situation, because so many things are out of their control. But this is like literally her health, and people were so upset with her. And then it turned into being like, just fucking stop smoking. Like, you're a piece of trash. Like, who can't do this, blah, blah, blah. And just the lack of information and knowledge of like addiction, and then using, weaponizing someone's own admitted addiction against them as like a, you have personally hurt me, and like, you need to get your shit together and do better for me, is like the most selfish take ever. And like, I can't even imagine how hard it is to have to go through that surgery, to know that, to like, be very concerned. Like, anytime you have to get any surgery done on your throat as like a singer, like, that's just, it's really hard. And then you put unrealistic expectations and standards on yourself. And then to have a group of people who are doing that exact same thing, who then claim to be like your biggest fans, is just like such a fucking scum, like, shit thing to do. And even people are like, Google says you should be fine after 2 weeks. I'm like, have you ever spoken to someone who got their tonsils out, like, who couldn't speak like for months and weren't back to normal, and you want her to go perform a stadium tour? Like, you're fucking kidding. Just like, fuck off. And like, it just makes me really upset. And I also really hate all the attention that people put on making memes of her vaping and doing all of this stuff, because she has like admitted that she's trying to quit and it is an addiction, that she's not like, she's not trying to glamorize. She's like, she's on TikTok. She's smoking, like, if she's smoking her vape, she's smoking it off camera, like on, and like bringing that to an award show, and like people being like, she's not a role model if she's doing this, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it's an addiction. And like, that is something that like everybody is in the process of dealing with their own addictions, how they deal with them. But I'm really done with people making these memes and glamorizing this and then weaponizing her own addiction against her when they were previously making memes about how cute and funny they thought it was, even though she has admitted this is something that she's trying to quit, that she's really struggling with. And yeah, it just makes me mad. And then the small little addition to that was Brittany Broski got to meet Harry Styles, and the shit that people were saying, like, I don't know her personally. Like, I also don't know Doja personally, but like, just like the concept that you could be such a huge fan of someone to display that you hurt people in their lives. And like, he met her, he wanted to meet her. Like, that's great and exciting. But like, if you have such a large obsession with someone that like, I understand jealousy, like I will fucking log off. Like I meet people on Instagram who like, I'm like, fuck, I really wish I was doing that. And like, I can't look at that and have a healthy relationship with that. So like, I'm going to mute that. Like, that's the okay, mature thing to do. But like, it just makes me so upset because people think that celebrities and people on social media don't see this kind of stuff, and they do. And it just makes me like sad because I think the culture of stans, I think if artists were at the forefront and it wasn't so much management there, I think there'd be a lot more community policing and with that. Mm-hmm. But I think with how numbers need to be and like trending and all of this stuff, I don't think that the relationship between artists and their fans can be super genuine and healthy because everything's about numbers and algorithms and statistics and that stuff. And that it just breeds like a really toxic place that inevitably will end up hurting both the artists and the fans, like eventually. Like, because it's like you're the biggest Harry Styles fan or you're the biggest One Direction fan, whatever. And then you get to meet Harry Styles and you've previously hated on her for doing all of this stuff. And then people will then hate you. And then you've been burned by the same fandom that like lifted you up. Like, I think it's similar to like trolling in general. Like it hurts everybody who becomes like a part of that toxic side of it. And yeah, and it just like makes me upset because there's already so many pressures in the industry that we should be happy for people and prioritizing people's health.
I think a lot of people forget where even the word stan comes from or don't even know. And it's from a Eminem song where a fan you didn't even know this?
I knew it was stalker fan, but I didn't know it came from Eminem.
Yeah, so he had a song called Stan about a fan that thinks that he's getting overlooked by Eminem. You should listen to the song and watch the video because the way that it's done, it's pretty brilliant. But a fan that was obsessive with him and thought that Eminem was like, it's not a true story, but it's based on a true story that then Eminem dramatized more. Mm-hmm. A fan that kept thinking that he was being overlooked by Eminem. And she's like, I saw you at a concert and you didn't say hi to me. But like, Eminem was like on the way to say hi, but then his security came and got him, or like small things like that. And then he's like, I've been writing you letters, Eminem. You haven't been responding. But like, when Eminem sits down to actually respond to his letter, he heard about one of his fans that drove off of a cliff, and this was actually the fan. And so that's where the term comes from. And it's about somebody that's being toxic, and people just overlook that part.
And there's like toxicity in fandoms in general, but like, I think it's entirely possible to become a fan of someone without becoming a stan, but it's really hard to be in a fandom of someone. Like, I've had conversations with this a bunch of people who are also big Taylor Swift fans, but they're like, I can't call myself, I mean, like, especially like these Black women are like, I can't call myself a Swiftie because like the people who like rule these fandoms and these communities like are so toxic, like that it's like they'll be racist against anyone just to like make a point that doesn't make their fave look better. Like, all of this stuff is just like, it's really hard. And I think they've made it because there's been no community kind of policing on behalf of artists, which my thought process is, I do think it's mostly labels and shit that get in the way. And also because like, it's just unless there's like a precedent set with like a fandom, like really early on, like it's hard to kind of control something if you haven't been a part of the narrative, if they've just been doing their own thing for so long. But I think Doja's like really actively fighting against that. And I think that, like, to be fair, a lot of the time, like, it's falls on like Black women who will police their audience more than like white women who will be like, yeah, like I'm just going to ignore it because I get hate. And so I'm not going to be a part of it. But like, yes, I get that. But like, I think you can monitor and cultivate a community in a way that's not oppressive and in a way that helps everybody. And like, I think about that constantly with our Facebook group and like with just like our audience in general and the podcast here. Like, we work really hard at that. And it's not an impossible thing to do. And if you do that early on and you start that early on, then you have people who are involved who then carry that on and continue to do that. And like, there is a standard and expectation for the people who are there. But I think that that's something that gets lapsed over when labels just want people talking about you, whether it's good or bad. And there's no filtering system or protection from seeing like death threats and hate messages. So like, you log off and you don't pay attention to that. And then you don't see that those things are not only happening to you, they're happening to like within your fandom, like under the guise of like, they're doing this for this person because I love them so much. And it's just like, if you can look at a relationship that you have with like a celebrity, a musical artist or anything, look at the list in your head of what you would not defend them for. And if that list is like things that are murder, like all these other things, like if you have like questions and you think that you're like, well, no, they would never do that. Like, reframe like the parasocial relationships that like you have with these like very real people, because they see them. Like, that was like made abundantly clear by the shit that Doja was having to deal with. Like, she saw those those like responses and shit. And don't be one of those people. They're also, it's gonna ruin the artist for you, because like eventually it's gonna bite you in the ass and then you're gonna lose out on something like that.
Yeah.
That's mine.
All right, mine is a little more lighthearted. As many of you know, the thing that television thing that I love the second most is Real Housewives. And this week, or last week at this point, Ramona Singer released one of the other, she's a housewife from New York, and then Real Housewife of New Jersey, Teresa Giudice, is getting married. And so she sent out her invitations, and Ramona put up, Ramona is a Karen to begin with, and like is always partying down with Trump and at Mar-a-Lago or whatever. So I'm not a fan of her, but she's an OG. She's there. You deal with her. So she posted the wedding invitation saying, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to go. But it had the date, the time, the location, and also the website for the wedding where you go to RSVP. And so all that information was out in the public. Also, people were taking the invitation, the website link, and then checking to see who else was invited to the wedding and getting their personal information. And then someone happened to be out and about in New Jersey while this was happening, a fan of Real Housewives. And she's on, as you'll know, all over Reddit. She's on the Real Housewives Reddit. And she was like, this was before a lot of people knew what was happening. She was like, haha, I just saw Teresa out at the mall and she looked real stressed, and posted a picture of Teresa like on the phone looking like stressed as fuck. And it was because this had just happened.
Wow.
And was Ramona remorseful? Did it take her a while to take it, to even take it down? did she post an apology? No, not at all. In fact, a few minutes after she had posted it and it had gone viral, she was on her Instagram dancing just like her best friend Trump dances at his stupid rallies with no word about this.
Is this like in character?
Yes, very much something she would do. I don't think she realized it, because she's also like, she doesn't really understand technology a lot. And I don't think she realized when she posted, she was posting all this information. She was just posting like, can't wait to go to your wedding. But again, not remorseful, didn't take it down for a long time when people were saying that it was a...
Why'd she invite her?
They're both like housewives, OGs.
Not the same city?
Not in the same city, but New York and New Jersey are right there together. Yeah. And all the OGs have like a respect for each other. And so... it was a mess.
Have to get more security.
Yeah, it was a hot day on Reddit that day.
That's funny. Do you know that I've met Ramona?
I know. I meant to start this by.
Oh, with my close personal friend, Ramona.
with saying that, you know, your friend that you ran into in New York that was really frazzled and asking you where someplace was.
It was the fun. If anyone hasn't heard this story, I was in New York. I was like, I had just gone something from like work or something, or like I went with Mots or something, but he was like going to a work thing. But whatever it was, like I literally just come from the airport. I'm in a taxi or an Uber taxi, whatever. And I've got my big fucking fat suitcase and I'm getting out and I'm meeting like my best friend Kyle at the corner, this corner. And he's going to like walk me up to like where we're going. And I like get out with my fucking suitcase and Ramona Zinger just like stops me and is like, do you know where Gramercy Place is? And I was like, oh yeah, it's over there, which like just killed me, like just like laughing so hard. And then Kyle's coming at the exact same time and she like walks that way, and then he and I like round the corner and look at each other and he goes, was that? And I go, I think that was that lady Ramona from Real Housewives. And he was dying. He goes, I'm so sorry, she asked you, a woman getting out of a taxi with a suitcase the size of her, directions to a place within New York City.
That she's lived at for years.
And he was like, what is she on? I go, I don't know, but she was frazzled, like frazzled.
That's how she always is.
It was so frantic. Like it was like the most like hectic thing I've, and I was like, whoa.
I mean, they have this thing called Ramona eyes that she, her eyes, like when she's just doing something, her eyes just bug out like really big. And then also Bethany Frankel coined this phrase, the Ramona coaster, because you never know like what dips and things are coming and going. And so then Ramona named her book the Ramona coaster, of course, and gave Bethany no credit for it. That's just the kind of person she is.
That's not necessarily a compliment.
No.
That's funny. There's also a couple of other Real Housewives who I used to see in like Soul Cycle who were like, girl, you're doing so good. And then I was like, oh. And then Kyle afterwards, like, do you know who they are? And I was like, I have no clue. I was like, was one of them related to Paris Hilton? Because like, that's the only thing I know.
Kyle in Beverly Hills or Kim. Kim's on there sometimes too. No, her mom's on there too. Paris's mom. Oh. Kathy. Huh? Little Kathy. Their mom's a big Kathy.
Oh. That, oh, little Debbie is the snack cake. I was like, why? Little Kathy, yes. Has that same ring to it, though. Like, mm-hmm, a little Kathy. Because Kathy and Debbie are, like, cut from the same cloth.
The same name.
Yeah, they're the same name. Susan, Debbie, yeah. Kathy. A little Susan.
Susie, Debbie, Kathy.
Susie, Debbie, Kathy.
Because then you, right, because then you've got Susan, Deborah.
Oh, you're right. Catherine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, that is our episode. We hope y'all enjoyed. If you want to vote, head on over to our Instagram. It is always linked in the show notes. So you can vote for who you think was wrong on this episode. And as always, we ask that you comment and let us know who your vote of the week is. But what else can you comment on our Instagram? What is like an old name or like a not so current popular name that you would like to have like a resurgence of? Like what would like, what are you going to bring back? Are you going to bring back the Little Susie? Going to bring back, mm-hmm, Little
That's
Debbie?
My great grandmother's name. Maybe I'll bring it back.
Susie?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to break the tradition of A names?
Could be a middle name.
Mm. Allison Susie. Anything else?
That's it.
Last thing I'll say is if you want us to talk about anything on this podcast, you want us to nominate someone for the Rachel of the Week, or if there's something that you'd love to hear us dive into on a hot take or a lukewarm take, send us a message on Instagram, DM it to us, or you can also, if it's like on TikTok, you can tag us in that. That's always helpful. Yeah, that's it. We will circle back next week.
Well, before I say goodbye, I would like to read a review.
We got a new review?
We got a new review. This is from Sarah Fern. Ethical and fun. As a fan of Don't Blame Me, I super enjoy having a second hour of Eminem every week. Since I only discovered them recently, it's been fun to watch this new show grow. Thank you.
Thanks. What a perfect, short, sweet, succinct review. I agree. Thank you. Okay, the end. We will circle back next week.
Goodbye.
But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks,
and me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.